You are listening to Radio Islam International. We now continue with our program. And in our segment on the book review program, this morning we are looking at the book Khomeini, Iranian Revolution and the Shiite Faith. This is by Maulana Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani. Now, people who are interested in studying the Shiite faith with references, this is an excellent read, and it's easy, accessible, and available in all Islamic stores. It's Khomeini, Iranian Revolution. The actual book is authored in the Arabic language by Maulana Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani, which is entitled Irani in Khomeini or in Irani Inqilab. That's the Urdu. It has been translated into English, and it is a fantastic read. This book is about, let me see, this, according to the copy that I have in front of me, is just 190 pages. And it's a quick read, mashallah. And in this book, what Maulana Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani has done, he has highlighted the major beliefs of the Shia faith, of the Shia group, and what they stand for, what they believe, with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and with regards to our beliefs, with regards to every other matter in the world. So, Maulana has done a fantastic job in this, but just to tell you a little bit about him, who is Maulana Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani, he is actually a very great scholar of the Indian continent, the subcontinent, and he was born in 1905, and he passed away in 1997. Allah has blessed him with a long lifespan. He lived to see 92 years of this worldly life. 92 years, subhanallah. And in May, 4th or 5th May 1997, he passed away. He grew up in his home village in I'm not going to go into the specifics of it, but I'll just mention the state, Uttar Pradesh. And he studied in his hometown, and after that he went on to study and further his education in Darul Uloom Deoband. He was there for 2 years. He studied under the likes of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahimahullah ta'ala, Mufti Aziz al-Rahman, and other leading scholars of the time. He taught also for 3 years in Amroha, and thereafter for 4 years he held the post of Sheikh al-Hadith at Darul Uloom Nadwatul Ulama in Lucknow, where Mawlana Salman Nadwi currently hails from. That's the same place. I'll tell you more about his lectures inshallah in a bit or two. Alright, moving on further, this book has the foreword by Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi, and I really like the foreword by Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi. I'm not going to go into the details of it. The contents of this book, let me just take you through it. Khomeini in the light of his own books. So what Maulana Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani has done, he has studied the books of Khomeini himself, and he has deduced the belief systems from there. Previously, the Shia faith was very concealed. You couldn't get much access to the literature. So Maulana goes on to say that he had in his possession the books of Khomeini, and then he argues that Khomeini, no doubt, has covered Kitab al-Tahara, from Kitab al-Tahara right up to Janaza. Every mas'ala that a person will go through, he has covered it, and he acknowledges his skill and his expertise in the field of fiqh. However, at the same time, he goes on to say what were his beliefs and what kind of things they level against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he speaks about the books that he has in front of him, Al-Hukumatul Islamiyah, and Tahrirul Wasila, and Kashful Asrar. These are the books that he obtained from the Shias, and from there he wrote a lot of his things from those books. So it's not a thumbsuck, it's not theory. He is giving you references and he's giving you the pages here in his book. So Al-Hukumatul Islamiyah, Tahrirul Wasila is in two volumes, and Kashful Asrar, these are the three major books of Khomeini. And he speaks about the nature of this revolution. And so let's look at some of the beliefs of the Shia faith with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, and I'm just opening to page. Okay, he starts off with the aspect of imama. Imama basically means to say that after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a successor, and there is a process of imama, that the world always requires a spiritual leader that will steer them in every turbulent phase, and it will take them out in every difficult period. And to believe in this Imam is compulsory, without which your Iman is not complete. And then he discusses the tenets of Imamah. Let me read to you from page 24 of this book. It says that the Imams govern and they have control over every particle of the universe. And then he says on page 52 of the book, Khomeini writes, the Imam enjoys such power over the law of cause and effect and place of worthiness and position of eminence that every particle of the universe bows before his power and authority and obeys his commands. So these are the types of belief system that they have in their faith. So this is Mullah Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani quoting from their books. It also says that the Imam is higher in rank than angels, prophets, and messengers. Yeah, so you have to believe in this concept in order to be a Shia. And then he goes on to say, before the creation of the world, the Imams were the light and effulgence surrounding the highest heaven. Besides God, no one can conceive of their station nearness to God. So they're saying here an Imam enjoys a very high pedestal, and they say that the Imams are infallible, they are ma'asum, just like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The teachings of Imams are eternally obligatory, like the teachings and commandments of the Quran. They say that the Imam has the prerogative and the right to dictate what is halal and what is haram. Imagine. So that's the basic concept of Imamah. They believe that at every given moment there needs to be a leader for the world, and the world has to follow that leader. And they believe that there are 12 such Imams. 11 have passed on, and the 12th one went into hiding. And that is known as Ghaibana Kubra, or Ghaibatul Kubra. And in the absence of that 12th Imam, there's Wilayatul Kubra. Okay, it's all technical stuff. I'm not going to get into it. But if you read this book, inshallah, you'll get a better understanding of what's happening. And it's a very good book to use as a term of reference. And we cannot shy away from the issue any longer. Our children are targeted in the universities, and they are being persuaded by this belief group. And our daughters are also falling for the trap. And because they don't have a sound upbringing in terms of Sharia and in terms of the Islamic background, we find that they aren't able to help or bail themselves out of these critical situations. So, Mullah Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani, then on page 27, he goes on to discuss the beliefs of the Shia with regards to the Khulafa'ur Rashidun. And they believe here, he writes here that they believe that Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu snatched the post of Khilafah from Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Na'udhu billah min thalik. Umar ibn al-Khattab did so the same. Uthman ibn Affan did the same. And they deprived Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu from becoming the Khalifa after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another belief that they have with regards to Sahaba, they said a majority have become non-Muslims, murtad. Astaghfirullah, na'udhu billah min dhalik, na'udhu billah min dhalik. So they say here that only a handful of Sahaba, two or three people remain Muslim after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, what does it tell you of the mission of Rasulullah? You mean you're trying to say that in the 23-year mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wasn't even able to convince few people? Not even a handful of people? Imagine. So these are the types of allegations leveled against the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And they say a few people like Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhum, these are people who did not become a murtad or did not apostatize after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that's the general belief with regards to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Thereafter, the Mulana Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani goes on to discuss the historical facts of Shia, where they came from, how did they take rise, and how did they establish themselves in the Muslim world. And he goes on to discuss the historical perspective. And then the next, he looks at Shiism and the similarity between Christianity, like how St. Paul interpolated the religion of Christianity. Likewise, he speaks about Abdullah bin Sabah and how he interpolated the religion. He tried to interpolate the factual things of Islam, and it tried to present a new view. So, the beginning of Shiism, the emergence of sects amongst the Shias, also you get different sects within the Shias, you get the Zaydis, etc., etc. I'm not going to go into the detail of it, I'm just giving you a tip of the iceberg. Thereafter, Mawlana Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani, rahimahullah ta'ala, goes on to discuss some of the core tenets of Shiism, and that is Muta. Muta means to have relations with women without making nikah, or for a fixed amount, for a fixed period. So 1 day, 1 night, 2 days, that's broad daylight prostitution. So we have to understand this faith, and we have to get firm understanding with regards to our faith and also their faith, so that we can protect ourselves. Thereafter, Mawlana Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani goes on to speak about taqiyya. Taqiyya means to reveal a different identity to the people from the one that is actually within you. So you portray love for somebody outwardly, but inwardly you are not the same. So that's the basic concept of taqiyya, where you are, and in fact they write here that the taqiyya is part of the deen, and you get rewarded if you practice upon it, which basically means to sell wholesale lies. And then he speaks about Karbala, and he gives a view that here, that the Shias believe that Karbala is more superior than the Kaaba, and some extremely shameful tenets like Muta. What is Muta, and how does it destroy the fiber of the community? So it's 190 pages altogether. This is written by Mulana Muhammad Manzoor Nu'mani. The actual book is written in the Urdu language, Khomeini or Irani Inqilab, and it has been translated in the English language as Khomeini and the Iranian Revolution and the Shi'iyat or Shiite Faith. It's a fantastic read. I remember, I don't think it's more than 30 or 40 rands, maximum 50 rands. I'm not sure what's the actual price now. Many books I bought a long time ago and the price remains. So I quote to you sometimes the wrong prices. You just find out from the bookstores available there, and everybody stocks them, alhamdulillah. And you'll get a better understanding. You'll get a better understanding of the movement, inshallah, after reading this book. And Mawlana has been a fantastic debater also. He has debated many of the groups, and he was a fantastic debater and orator and author. Allahu Akbar, he has done a lot for the Muslim Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. That's as far as the book review is concerned. Welcome back. It's 9:26. You are listening to Radio Islam International. And early on I mentioned that I'll give you just a brief background of regards to Mawlana Salman Nadwi and how his talks and lectures have influenced many people. Now, to understand Mawlana Salman Nadwi, we have to understand Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi, rahimahullah ta'ala. What a man. Mufakkirul Islam. The great thinker of the Islamic world. And Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi was a visionary in his own right. And Mawlana Salman has picked up from him also. Now, if you attend Mawlana Salman Nadwi's lectures, you might be thinking that what's the theme, the core message of this man's lectures? And if you haven't read the books of Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi, you won't really understand what Mawlana is trying to paint. Because it's a very, very broad view, and it's a visionary. It's a visionary view that Mawlana is presenting. So, the crux of Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi's message is that Islam is here to stay. Islam is a practical religion. It's here to be predominant over all other religions. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Allah says that Allah has sent this religion, or Allah has sent this Islam to be predominant over every other religion, whether the Muslim or the non-Muslim like it or not. And then he discusses that Islam is a practical religion. For every era, for every time, for every group, for every nation, for every nation. Whoever it may be, wherever they may be, if they put Islam into their life, they will succeed and they will flourish, inshallah. So that's the core message of the Islam, of the talks. And then they expand on the same theory throughout the talk. And they give you, they expand on the point that how Islam is practical, how Islam came about and how it's triumphant in today's day and age. And then you go into history a little bit to show you where Islam was, what it achieved, where it is now, and what it can achieve. So, basically, it's a theory to say that Islam has the answer to all solutions. It's workable, it's practical, it's pragmatic, it's for the time. And there's no other solution to the problems of the world except the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, they tackle this topic very scholarly. Now, if you understand it from that perspective, hopefully you will get an understanding of the lecture when you do sit in Maulana Salman Nadwi's lectures, or if you read the books of Maulana Abul Hasan Ali and Nadwi. Now, one book that really stands out is The Message to the West. These are transcriptions of the lectures that were delivered by Maulana Abul Hasan Ali and Nadwi when he visited Europe and when he went to the West, and he visited Germany, he visited the United States of America and other places. And he delivered lectures at various places, at the Oxford University also. And in every place he delivered a lecture, the core theme was that Islam is here to stay. It is a workable solution. You are a Muslim minority living in a country where people are watching you and they study you. So you need to be an example. You need to be an example for the people out there. You need to show them the beauty of Islam. That's what he argues. And you need to show them that you are the ambassadors of this deen. And you need to show them that how beautiful this deen is, how attractive it is. And then Abu Hasan Ali and Nadwi argues in that book, The Message to the West, the mission of Islam and the message to the West. In there he says that no doubt the West has also brought in many, many good things also to the world, but they need to look at it from a holistic perspective. They are concentrating on the external needs of a human being, and they're forgetting the internal needs of a human being, the spiritual needs of the human being. And that's what Maulana Abul Hasan Ali and Nadwi discusses. So now if you follow Maulana Salman Nadwi, it's very similar in the same thought pattern which Maulana Abul Hasan Ali and Nadwi would speak in. And it is a reality that people who do come from the background of Nadwatul Ulama are great thinkers, alhamdulillah, and they have a different view with regards to matters that are unfolding in the world. So if you look at it from that perspective, alhamdulillah, he is an asset to the community, and you can benefit a lot from there. He has studied, he has graduated in the field of hadith in Nadwatul Ulama, and thereafter he went to Makkatul Mukarramah, to Saudiya. He studied there also. Therefore, Maulana is quite articulate in the Arabic language, just as his grandfather from the mother's side, who was extremely articulate in the Arabic language. Now, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi, he is the author of the famous book that is taught throughout the world, Qasasun Nabiyyin. Now, that's the beautiful book that he has written for the children and for the smaller group, which is taught in all major Darul Ulooms today, and it is a starting point for the Arabic language. Now, not only the Indian subcontinent, or not only the subcontinent, uses these books, but even the Arab world. Even the Arab world are highly impressed by his works. In fact, if you go to Makkatul Mukarramah and if you walk into the bookstores, you'll find a lot of books by Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi on the shelves in the Arabic language. And Mawlana was quite profound in the language. Subhanallah, he had the expertise that were unmatched by many people of his time. And he spoke out against lot of people, and he was quite vociferous. He was outspoken. He was outspoken. He was not shy. He did not beat around the bush. And he addressed governments. He addressed officials. He addressed superpowers and what have you. He spoke about Palestine also at that time. And all these works are found in the Arabic language. If you go onto his website, Abu Hasan Ali and Nadwi, you find a lot of literature there also. But Maulana Salman Nadwi is also a visionary in his own right, mashallah. If you go onto YouTube or social network, you'll find a lot of his lectures, and his way of thinking. You'll be highly influenced and impressed when you just sit in this man's company. Alhamdulillah, that is as far as Mawlana Salman Ali al-Nadwi. Mullah Salman Nadwi is concerned. He is a Husayni. Husayni means that he's a Sayyid, he's from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but through Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You either a Husayni or Hassani. Hassan is a Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the Sayyid family has spread in the world through Fatima al-Zahra, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through her and her children. That's just a brief message with regards to Mullah Salman Nadwi's tour to South Africa and the way he speaks and addresses issues. If you have this background in mind, it will be easier for you to understand when we are sitting in his lectures. Inshallah. It is now 9:34. 9:38, you are listening to Radio Islam International. We continue with our program. And like I said earlier on, that I'd like to share with you an interesting perspective and angle with regards to the festive season that we're entering into. You know, it's Christmas time. Many of us are working in the corporate world. We find lots of non-Muslims, lots of Christians that will be celebrating the Christmas day, etc. So I think it's important that we also invite him towards the deen of Islam, and we show him the true colors, the beauty of Islam. And I think the starting point can be the incident of the Sahaba migrating to Ethiopia or Abyssinia or Habasha, and that the Najashi gave them protection at that time. I think that is a very good point to start off with a Christian colleague of yours. And we must fulfill that gap. We must invite them towards Islam. We must. And you must say, hey, you know what, it's Christmas time. Do you want to know what Islam says about Christmas, Christians, and what a significant role they played in the initial stages of Islam? It's a very interesting point. Instead of lambasting and running them down, we rather start on a common ground and call them to something which they will agree with, inshallah. So, in the initial stages of Islam, Muslims were persecuted. They were tortured. They were really tortured because of them proclaiming the Shahada and accepting the faith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, migrate to Abyssinia, for there is a king in that land which exercises justice, which is very just, and that king will not oppress anyone. That king will not oppress anyone. So the Prophet of Allah told the Sahaba about Najashi, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to make hijrah. A handful of people went, not more than 20 people in the first migration, and they went to Najashi. So when the Muslim group came to Najashi, the Quraysh became worried, because they also had trade relations with Abyssinia. And they said, well, let's try and win over the king by giving him expensive gifts, and we can ask him to hand over these Muslims or these people who have migrated from Mecca to Abyssinia. So they sent Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Abyssinia. He came into the court of Najashi and he said, oh king, there are a group of people who have left our community and they have abandoned our ways. They are not on your religion nor on our religion. They have renegated against our elders and our gods and deities. We want you to hand them over to us. So, like the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Najashi does not oppress anyone. And subhanAllah, he showed his justice. He said, I can't just hand you over to them. I can't just give you control over this, these people who have sought protection under my kingship. However, we can have a debate and call them out, and let's see what their views are. So they called the Muslim group and they chose Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a spokesperson. What we learn from here also is that when you are seeking representation, then you always choose the best person possible who is articulate, who will be able to say the right things at the right time, and who would know what to say, how to say, and when to say it. So a spokesperson plays a very, very critical role for for his people. So the Muslims chose Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu as their spokesperson. Everybody never come there and say, hey, you know what, I'm also going to talk, you also going to talk. There would have been chaos, there would have been misunderstanding because one would speak and another one would say something else. But there was order. SubhanAllah. So we learn from here that you choose one person and you allow him to do the talking. And if you've got some brilliant idea, you always whisper it in his ear. You don't have to speak yourself. You can always use that medium. Anyways, so Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala gave the historical background of the days of Jahiliyyah. And he started off and said, Ayyuhal Malik, kunna qawman ahla Jahiliyyah. O King, O Najashi, what do we tell you? We were a barbaric nation that lived in the dark ages. And what dark ages? Nobody was willing to even rule over the Arabs. There were two superpowers of the time, the Persian Iraq and the Roman Syria. They both bordered the Arabian Peninsula, but none of them bothered to subjugate the Arabs and to rule over them. So that's how barbaric this nation was. So he says, "Kunna qawman ahla jahiliyya." We were living in the dark ages. نَعْبُدُ الْأَصْنَامُ We would worship idols. And you remember when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah, and when he conquered that place, he broke all the idols. 360 in and around the Kaaba. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam destroyed all the idols at that time. They had a different idol for rain, a different idol for provisions, a different idol for protection, a different idol for your marital affairs, all different deities for different reasons. So Sayyidina Ja'far is saying that, O King, we were living in the dark ages. We worshipped the idols. وَنَأْكُلُ الْمَيْتَةَ And we used to eat of the carcasses or animals that were slaughtered in everybody else's name besides the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically, we were just eating dead animals without even any precaution. وَنَأْتِ الْفَوَاحِشِ And we used to commit all sorts of indecent acts. All sorts of obscenities would be found in our community, O King. We used to sleep. We used to commit zina, we used to drink liquor, we used to gamble, we used to eat pork and everything you can think of. وَنَقْتَوُ الْأَرْحَامِ And O King, we used to break off family relations for petty issues. We used to fight one another for silly things, and we would fight for generations. The one generation would take up the fight to the next, and likewise they would be at loggerheads even 50 to 60 years down the line for petty issues. وَنَقْطَوُ الْأَرْحَامِ وَنُسِيءُ الْجِوَارِ And we used to be very hostile towards our neighbors. We used to be very cold. We used to be very hostile towards our neighbors. وَيَأْكُلُ الْقَوِيُّ مِنَّ الضَّعِيفِ The strong one amongst us would oppress the weaker one amongst us. فَكُنَّا عَلَى ذَلِكَ And we were in this We were in these dark ages. We were in these dark days. There was no nur out there. حَتَّى بَعْثَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided otherwise for us. He decided that we should come out from the shackles of Jahiliyyah and we should be liberated. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in our community a rasul. نَعْرِفُ نَسَبَهُ وَصِدْقَهُ وَأَمَانَتَهُ وَعَفَافَهُ He was a man that we were well aware of his character. We knew his lineage. We knew who his parents were. Meaning, he wasn't a child that came without parents. Oh, who's the father of this child, you know? So they said, we knew his lineage. We knew his parents. We knew he was the most trusted one amongst us. We knew that he was the most honest one amongst us. And we knew he was the most chaste one amongst us. فَدَعَانَا إِلَى اللَّهِ لِنُوَحِّدَهُ وَنَعْبُدَهُ And he stood up and he called us and he said, We want لِنُوَحِّدَهُ He says, I want you to worship only one Allah. I want you to worship only one Allah. And I want you to give your life for him. وَنَخْلَعَ مَا كُنَّا نَحْنُ نَعْبُدُ وَآبَاؤُنَا مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ وَالْأَوْثَانِ. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us that we should not worship stones and idols and things that we make with our own hands. Makhluk becomes khaliq. How's that? Today we create something, tomorrow it becomes our deity. وَأَمَرَنَا بِصِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ. O King, he told us to speak the truth. He told us that we should always speak the truth. وَأَدَاءِ الْأَمَانَةِ. We should fulfill the trust that has been given to us. If somebody leaves anything in our possession, we should be trustworthy and honest about it. وَصِلَةِ الْأَرْحَامِ. He told us to join family ties. He told us to join family ties. وَحُسْنِ الْجِوَارِ. He told us to be kind and courteous to our neighbors. وَالْكَفِّ عَنِ الْمَحَارِمِ وَالْدِّمَاءِ. And he told us to abstain from things that will earn the wrath of Allah. And he told us that do not spill sacred blood. Do not spill the blood of people who are innocent. وَنَهَانَ عَنِ الْفَوَاحِشِ. He told us to refrain from obscenity. وَقَوْلِ الزُّورِ. And he told us not to lie. وَأَكْلِ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ. And he told us not to usurp the rights of the orphans. وَقَذْفِ الْمُحْصَنَةِ. And he told us not to falsely accuse chaste women and to accuse things that did not do about, that did not do. وَأَمَرَنَا أَن نَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ لَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. He told us to worship one Allah and that we should not ascribe partners unto him. وَأَمَرَنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ. He told us to perform salah. وَالزَّكَاةِ. He told us to discharge our zakah. وَالصِّيَامِ. He told us to fast. فَصَدَّقْنَاهُ وَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَاتَّبَعْنَاهُ عَلَى مَا جَاءَ بِهِ. O King, we found this message to be so good, so appealing, so attractive that we brought iman on him, O King. O King, we brought iman on him. We brought iman on him and we followed his ways. فَعَبَدْنَا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. We started worshipping Allah alone. فَلَمْ نُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. O King, we no longer ascribe partners unto Allah. We no longer believe that there are so many deities. وَحَرَّمْنَا مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْنَا. And we regard whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has regarded as haram, we also regard it as haram. وَحَلَّلَنَا مَا أَحَلَّلَنَا. And he has made halal for us whatever he has made halal for us. We don't go beyond it. فَعَدَى عَلَيْنَا قَوْمُنَا. O King, our nation became hostile towards us. فَعَذَّبُونَ. They started persecuting us. وَفَتَنُونَ. And they started testing us in our faith. And they started chasing us away from our community. And they would make life difficult for us. And they would try their best to make us come back to the old religion. And they made us do all sorts of things just so that we could renounce Islam. Najashi was left in tears. Remember, this is a Christian king. But look at his heart, Allahu Akbar. He opened his heart to the truth. And all the people in the court were left in tears. All his advisors, all his ministers, all the priests that were in the court, they were left in tears. Then Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala tried another trick and he said, O King, ask them what do they say? Ask them what do they say about Maryam alayha as-salatu was-salam? Ask them what do they believe about Jesus? What do they say about Christ? What do they say about him? So the king asked Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what do you say about Jesus? What do you say about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? So Najashi was asking him, and Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he opened the verses of Surah Maryam and he started, كاف ها يا عين صاد ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا. But he goes on to speak about Maryam عليها الصلاة والسلام, and he speaks how Maryam عليها الصلاة والسلام conceived through the blowing of Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام, and how Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam gave birth miraculously to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمِ إِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِنْ كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين ولنجعله آية للناس ورحمة منا وكان أمرا مقضيا فحملته فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا فناداها من تحتها ألا تحزني قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا وهزي إليك بجذع النخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا فكلي واشربي وقري عينا فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا فأتت به قومها تحمله قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغية فأشارت إليه قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبية قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون ما كان لله أن يتخذ من ولد سبحانه إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون. النجاشي was left speechless, flabbergasted, shocked, perplexed, astonished, and he said, "You have spoken the truth. You have spoken the truth." And later on, Allah blessed Najashi with Islam. And he is the very same king that paid for the dowry of Ummu Habiba radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And he saw to the nikah of her to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because the Muslims remain in Abyssinia, not for one day or two days or 1 month or 2 months, but they stayed there right up the conquest of Khaybar. So they stayed there for a few years, and the Muslims then migrated from Abyssinia to Madinatul Munawwara. So what I'm saying to you today is that now that we are in the festive season, and we have lots of non-Muslim colleagues, and we have lots of Christian friends, we must share this with them. Show them the beauty of Islam. Show them the beauty of our religion. And inshallah, you'll see that you can win people over. That's one way of doing it. And the other way, haram, haram, haram. You know, that's one way of addressing the issue. We just go and lambaste anything and everything there. Are you going to chase more people away? And you are going to discourage people from coming closer to Islam. So use wisdom and tact. This incident of Ja'far bin Abi Talib, Allahu Akbar. And remember, these were Christian people who gave safety and amnesty to who? To Muslims. And later on, alhamdulillah, Islam also repaid this favor when Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala went on to take Palestine. And when he entered Sophronis came to the church and he told Umar ibn al-Khattab, well, in their scriptures they were told that the leader of the believers will come, and this was his description, and the keys of the city will be given to him. And Umar ibn al-Khattab traveled from Medina to Munawwara, right to Jerusalem, to Palestine, and he came there. And the leader of the Christian community, Sophronis, came, and he told Umar ibn al-Khattab, "Why don't you pray inside? At the end of the day, we all believe in one God." So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "No, I do not want to pray in this place. Tomorrow people coming after me will say, We have a right to this place. We need to demolish it because Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala performed salah in this. So there we are talking about that the Muslims also repaid the favor to the Christians, alhamdulillah. And Umar ibn Khattab granted them amnesty. He granted them safety. He granted them security over the places of worship. Allah tuktharu kanisahum. Their synagogues and their churches will not be demolished. They will not be brought down. They will be able to practice their religion within the Islamic world. To the extent Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala said, if there is any dispute, you can either rule according to your book, and if you find that you are unable to settle matters amongst yourself, you can bring it to my governors, and if that is not fruitful, then bring it to me and I will serve justice. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala repaid the favor to the Christian world, and they lived, they coexisted with each other from that time, alhamdulillah. It is a sad turn of events that today, through the media, they are creating Islamophobia, antagonism, and creating hostility between one faith group and the other faith group. They always coexisted together. Look at the rich culture of Spain. They were able to practice, the Christians were able to practice their religions freely under the under the Islamic rule in Spain. And, in fact, they worked together in translating many classical works from the Greek language into the Arabic language, and etc. So, the world was a harmonious place at that time. Today, through media and through the influence of wrong people, they are creating hostility, they are creating animosity between Muslims and the other faith groups. You need to show them how we coexisted, how we were progressing as a community, and how we were able to tolerate each other, and how we were able to see each other prosper in life. So that's just a message that came to mind. I thought we'd take an alternative perspective that we are in this festive season, and inshallah it can also become a means of da'wah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. 10 o'clock on the dot.